What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your hosts, Anne Catherine
and Caroline. Happy Monday, or any other day that you're listening to this, but right now it is Monday for us, right after Halloween.
How was your Halloween? How was our Halloween?
Our Halloween was okay.
It was okay.
I wouldn't say it was like the most exciting, best weekend ever. However, it was still a pretty good time. We dressed up and went out Friday night, and then...
What were you?
I was Rapunzel.
I was Barbie.
And Catherine's been Barbie a couple times. It's kind of a classic costume for her, but I think she did a good job. She still pulled it off. Doesn't matter how many times you do it. It's a classic. I was planning on doing Hannah Montana because Hannah Montana is my life. Like,
oh,
like I...
Coming out swinging
like
right
Miley
here.
Cyrus and Hannah Montana, like, it's just like nothing that's like my thing, you know? Like, I love that. And so I bought a dress to be Hannah Montana. I had the boots, I had the microphone, but I tried it on and I just didn't love it.
It wasn't perfect.
It wasn't perfect. And I decided that I love Hannah Montana so much. And if I do it, I have to do it right. I have to do it justice. It has to be perfect. And this didn't feel perfect to me. So I decided that I'm going to return the costume. I'm going to postpone it to a later date when I feel like I can really show up and show out as Hannah.
Right, that's my favorite phrase.
And so instead, I was Rapunzel. And I still enjoyed the costume. You know, there wasn't as much pressure for it to be perfect because I have no emotional connection to Rapunzel.
Right.
So it was good. I think we both did a good job. We'll post a picture, like literally right now on the podcast.
Posting Instagram, it as we
so
speak.
You guys can see.
Run over there, guys. If you're not already following the podcast Instagram,
at Girls with Goals Pod.
At Girls with Goals.
It's
Pod.
Like our combined Instagram. Almost.
It's our combined Instagram and our combined Finsta. I think sometimes
sure, to some
our,
extent.
To
yeah.
some extent, like our stories can take some.
Yeah, we've been very active on there and we love it. So go follow at Girls with Goals Pod if you're not already following both of our personal Instagrams and TikToks. It's just at Caroline Kinnean, adding Catherine Kinnean, so make sure you guys are doing that. And I hope that you guys had a great weekend as well. I know that sometimes around like holidays and things like this, there can be a lot of pressure to have so much fun or to like do all of these things.
Yeah, I was reading the Instagram, the Girls with Goals Instagram DMs and like little question response boxes last night, and a lot of them were about, you know, like feeling left out or having a little bit of FOMO, especially Halloween. I feel like there's so much hype around you have to be social, which is not true at all. But I understand like being left out sucks, feeling like you're
not included. People don't want you to
right.
be there.
Absolute horrendous feeling. And we've been there so many times before.
We've been there a lot of times in our life. I've experienced that feeling a lot.
No, like, that is a...
Yeah. I've experienced that feeling a lot to know that it's a really shitty feeling, and so...
It's like a physical feeling.
Yeah, I feel like you feel that in your gut when you feel left out.
Literally all of high school.
Yeah.
Go off.
Yeah.
What were you saying? We were talking about this earlier. Halloween, high school sucks. 4th of July.
4th of July
I've cried every single 4th of July.
4th of July has historically been a bad event, but New Year's, all of these things were like... You know, like those typical social days where, you know, you want to be invited to things, you want to be included
there's
to things.
There's pressure. There's, like, social pressure to be included in those things.
Yeah.
And so it feels even worse when you're not. My favorite was that one iconic New Year's where we actually got uninvited from somewhere. And they go, no, don't worry. Because we were actually deciding between two different sets of twins, and we chose you in the first place.
But then we uninvited you anyways. But like
uninvited.
For a second, you guys won.
Like, okay. I was like, oh my God.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm so honored.
Thank you.
Yeah, but you know, it sucks because you see all these people like posting their pictures and stuff, acting like they're having the time of their life, and you feel excluded. You feel like it's a shitty feeling.
But like a couple things to understand, I know like, in that situation, it's hard to think clearly. But number one, I bet those people are not having as much fun as you think.
Yeah.
They might be having fun.
But they might not be.
They might not be.
You know, what people post on social media and their pictures in their costumes.
They're not
going to
post the bad stuff.
That doesn't tell the whole story. You know, people could be in the crowd feeling just as lonely as you are at home. That's like the reality a lot of the time.
Me
I think.
When I go.
And at the same time... that is why it is so important to have this really good relationship with yourself, to care about your opinion about yourself more than anyone else's. Because at the end of the day, yes, there's going to be a lot of people around you in your life, but you can't rely on them. You know, this goes back to a lot of the things that we were saying in our independence episode.
You can't rely
episode.
On them for, like, the stuff. How do I phrase this?
I'll go back. And this goes
because
back to a lot
kinda
of...
like, yeah. Fuck everyone.
And this goes back to a lot of the stuff we were saying in our independence episode, where it's like, you're going to have a lot of people in your life and they could be great people, but at the end of the day, you're the only person that's with you 24/7. You're the only person that's like in your head.
Whoa.
And so you need to make sure that environment in your head and your relationship with yourself is a positive one, because when these things happen, you don't want them to tear you down. As bad as the feeling can be in the moment, if you have a strong relationship with yourself, you know your self-worth, these things won't tear you down.
And even if you do have an amazing, incredible, super strong relationship with yourself, like, it's still gonna suck and hurt a little bit, but you're gonna wake up the next morning totally fine.
You're gonna be able to move past
it. You're gonna, like, get on with your life, go do your shit.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have stuff going for you.
Yeah.
And you can stick to that.
It's hard, but I think that feeling left out is more of a universal experience than we make it think.
Yeah.
I think that everyone at certain points or another, like, feels left out, feels on the outside, even though it may not look like that all the time. I think everybody experiences that to a certain extent. So as hard as it is, you know, you'll
move
past it. Stronger than that. You'll move past it. Keep your head up and know that we've been there so many times. And we still feel that.
We still feel that
so often. So
also, like, what did we do last night? We stayed home and played Mario Kart with our friends.
Yeah, that's true.
Instead of, like, going, we all collectively decided we went out Friday.
Yeah.
Saturday.
Some people still went out last night.
Some people still went out last night.
We were alone for a bit, you know?
But, like, we could have seen that and been like, oh, everyone's out there having fun. And we're just
sitting on the couch.
So all our other friends, we were, like, there hanging out. We, like, went to their house before, and then they all went out for a little bit while Carol and I just stayed and hung out at their house because it was, like, an event for them. And then they came back, and we all hung out, and we had such a good time.
Right. Yeah, that is true. Last night, a lot of people had their own events for, like, frats and sororities and stuff. We're not in a sorority, so we didn't have an event.
So we were just hanging out.
So the two of us were alone for a bit last night, but it was a good time, and we still enjoyed it. But
yeah. So, like, there's not, like, one cookie-cutter type of a fun Saturday night.
Yes, but I guess our point in saying that is, like, we hope that you guys had a super fun time, but understand that, like, especially around these times, it's so common to have those feelings of, like, FOMO, being left out, feeling like people aren't treating you right, and just know that, you know, we've been there, we know how you feel, and we love you guys.
You know what? At the end of the day, you've got us.
You do.
So
it's true.
That.
And this is episode 10. That's kind of crazy. Like, 10 is not that, it's not that big of a number. It's a low number. One day we'll be at episode 50 and 100 and 500. But to all of you who have listened every week and been along for the ride
thank
for these
you.
First 10 episodes, thank you.
Thank you.
We
like,
love
you. Guys
you.
Make this happen.
Yeah. I mean, yes, we're the ones behind the mics. We're talking, but, like, you guys make this community.
We're
you are girls
you.
With goals. You guys make this a real thing. And so we are so grateful for all of you. We love you guys so much. And just know that this is just the beginning, right? We're going to continue to level this up. And today we want to bust some fitness myths. Because we
absolutely demolish, destroy.
Punch them. Throw them down. Knock them down. Because we've talked about in episode 5, everything you need to know to start your fitness journey. We've talked about all those actual, you know, things that
more
you
tangible,
should do,
like,
for a more healthy lifestyle for fitness.
Step to step.
But there
step
are,
by step. What am I saying?
But there are a lot of things out there, a lot of these myths, a lot of misinformation, a lot of things that if nobody tells you differently that you're going to believe. And so we just want to dedicate this episode to, you know, giving you guys the truth. Knocking down these myths so that you don't live by these.
We're just gonna keep it real.
You know, getting rid of these rules that you don't need to have in your life and replacing them with the real stuff.
Before we get into that, though, what's your high for the week? I feel like we talked about it a little bit, but...
Our highs and our lows? Okay.
Yeah.
My high is that I feel like I kind of pulled myself together a little bit this week, not in the sense that I, like, wasn't together, but, like, I did some extra things to just make myself feel really put together and nice. I got my nails done on Wednesday, which I haven't had my nails done in so long, and, like... This is really gross, but I've always been a nail biter, and my nails have always been, like, what?
That's disgusting.
Yeah. My nails have always been disgusting, and I just hate it. And so I commit, like, a month ago to never bite my nails again. I just said I'm going to stop, and I actually followed through with it. And so my nails were looking good.
Strong.
I know. I am so strong. And so my nails were finally looking good, and so I got them done, and I just feel like a changed person because my nails are always gross, and now they're nice and pretty, and I feel much more put together. I also just feel like I was, like, putting some outfits together and stuff like that. I don't know. I was making myself more presentable, and that always makes you feel good, you know? My skincare was good. I was, you know, doing a little makeup routine. I just, like, felt put together this week, and that always feels good, you know, to take that extra, take that extra little bit of effort to make yourself feel good.
Right.
What about you? A high.
A high? We just got a lot of work done this week, which is, like, needed. I needed to do. It was a busy like, school work vibes, but I got it all done, so that's good.
Woo!
My low for the week, this one's so funny because it's just unfathomable to me. So you guys know I teach workout classes, and yesterday... We're teaching one, and we're doing, like, 40 seconds on, 20 seconds off for a little bit. Tell me why someone is texting, just, like, on their phone during the, like, work.
During the work period?
During the work. What are you doing? It's 40 seconds of work. Why are you grabbing? And I was like, what could you possibly be doing on your phone?
Look, anyway, some people are just popular. Some people have people to
know. Yeah, apparently.
I'm kidding.
I'm not used to that.
I think it's like a good idea though to try to, like, during a workout and stuff, just put your phone away. You have access to your phone every
other minute of your life. But also, if it's like a group fitness class, you're not going to, like, have your phone out.
What I know. That does feel a little bit disrespectful. I'm sorry you went through that.
Thanks. It was really, really tough.
Yeah, that's annoying though because you're, like, taking your effort to teach a class.
No, but
I want everyone to be engaged.
And she's, like, on the floor, like. Phone and on her phone
just
I was like, what what possessed you to be doing that?
If you need a rest, but don't be on your phone,
right? I was like, I had to take a double take on that. A double take, guys, not yet. Wait till the end for the double take. All right, what was your low?
I think my low is just, like, I feel like my overall well-being has been fluctuating so much, and I mean that, like, you guys, everyone, Kathy's laughing so hard at me. Like, some days I feel
so tumultuous.
Some days I feel so, so great, and some days I feel just, like, so bleh and, like, low. And I wanted to feel more steady, and I think a lot of that is, like, if you are in college right now, I don't know if you guys are experiencing this, but I feel like everyone is because I see everyone on the internet talking about it, but... Everyone's just been everyone's been, like, sick and not able to knock this cold since, like, the first day of school. Like, everyone just came back to college and, like, got a cold, and it's like some days I feel so good and then some days I feel sick, and some nights I sleep so well and then some nights I just, like, can't sleep, and I just want it to be more. I want to feel consistently good. I don't want to feel sick and, like, sleep deprived some days. And so I guess that's my
who
low.
Wants
is
to
that
feel sick.
Yeah, is like some is just that it's felt a little bit tumultuous and, like, a little bit out of my control because it's like I'll even, like, try to go to sleep early and some nights I just can't fall asleep and some nights I just feel sick. And
so, what's your goal with that?
I need to get a new journal this week. I had been literally just using the same notebook as a journal and, like, a daily to-do list planner, and I filled it. And it's gone now, and so I've just been using my notes app on my phone for my daily to-do list and planner recently, and I just love having that, like, on pen and paper more so. But then also, I haven't had it to be able to, like, use as a journal and to do some, like, morning or nightly journaling.
Wait, did you, like, fill yours?
my notebook. I think it's full. And so I've been really needing to get a new journal. And also it was
I thought you just like wanted
it. It was also like kind of just like a gross old notebook. And I want to get myself a really nice, pretty, good journal to use. So I'm going to try to do that either today or tomorrow. And then, you know, get back into a little bit of a journaling routine this week. What about you?
Personally, I need to like take some time for myself and make that a little bit of a priority, even if it's like a 10-minute walk to go get coffee in between doing work. Like, I need to make sure I'm getting that time away from just like grinding stuff out.
Let's get into these fitness myths, and let's start with one of the biggest ones out there, which is spot reducing.
So spot reducing, just to like explain the term, I know I didn't know what it was before getting into this, but spot reducing is if you want to lose fat in your arms, you say, I'm just going to work out my arms. I'm only going to do workouts that target my arms, and that's how I'm going to lose the fat.
Or thinking that if you want to lose some belly fat, you just do ab workouts.
Or if you like, same thing. Not the case.
Not the case.
If you work out and you eat in a way that's going to make you lose fat, you're going to lose it evenly across your whole body.
Mm-hmm. It also is a lot based on genetics. Different people store fat in different areas. You know, a lot of the time for girls, that's like hips, legs, lower belly, those kind of things. Some people also store a lot of more fat in their arms and things like that. So genetics play a big role in where you store fat and then also where you lose fat from once your body starts losing. I think the idea with this is that a lot of the time if someone's like feeling the burn in a certain area, then they link that with like burning fat.
Mm-hmm. And like, oh, I'm effectively working this area right now as we speak. As I'm feeling the burn, the fat is going away.
Mm-hmm. So when you target specific areas of your body, you're engaging those muscles. So that is going to help you gain lean muscle or maintain lean muscle in those
just
specific
areas. Just get
stronger
in that area so you're able to continue to push yourself.
But it
like
doesn't
move further in the process.
So yes, working out a specific area can target muscle growth or lean muscle maintenance in that area, but it does not
necessarily
target fat loss in that specific area.
Right.
Because when you lose fat, it means that your body is burning more calories than you're consuming. And then you're doing these other things, which we talked about a lot in episode 5, that like makes it so that you're burning
signal
fat
signal to
not
your
muscle.
Body that you want to use the fat rather than.
But your genetics decide where that fat comes from. So feeling the burn in your abs, yes, that means that you're engaging your abs and
you're
strengthening your core.
Those muscles.
It's great, but it doesn't mean that your body is burning fat when you feel that burn. That's
right.
Not what's happening. That's right. Just you engaging those muscles.
If you're doing all the right steps, you're going to lose fat across your whole body.
So if you see YouTube videos saying blast inner thigh fat, blast belly fat.
No!
That's just clickbait because
there's... You may be working your inner thighs. You may be working your
You're strengthening
core.
Those areas. You're engaging those muscles. But that does not equate to burning fat specifically in that area. When your body loses fat, it loses fat evenly throughout your body based on your genetics. You cannot target where that fat is pulled from. You cannot say, hey, body, I want you to lose fat just in my stomach. That's not how it works.
Not how it works.
That's not how it works. While lifting weights with and engaging certain muscles, you're signaling to your body, like, I want to build this specific muscle. It doesn't work
so
that
when
same
you,
way with fat.
In that case, when you lose the fat, different areas are going to have stronger muscles.
And
right?
And maybe look more toned. But you just, the point of this whole thing is that you cannot choose where your body loses fat from. So things that are telling you that you're targeting this fat.
Wrong.
That's not true. Because your body just loses fat all over. You cannot spot reduce fat.
That said, so similar, myth number 2, ab workouts equal abs.
That's not totally the case. Because like we said, you can't choose where your body pulls fat from. And to have those visible abs, you need to both have a strong core.
And lose the fat.
And a low enough body fat percentage to actually show those abs.
Right. So the same exact thing, doing an ab workout is not going to get you abs.
Doing
directly.
Doing an ab workout, like crunches, is not going to
automatically give you visible abs. Like, that's just not
it's not going to burn that belly fat specifically, because like we said, you can't choose where that fat comes from. At the same time, in order to really strengthen your core, it's not just ab workouts. The actually most important thing or most effective way to do that is to engage your core while you're doing all other exercises.
Right. So if you're squatting, you need a strong core to keep yourself stable. That's going to be engaged if you're like squatting heavy. When you're
shoulder pressing,
you need to engage your core to keep yourself steady. Like, your core is at the core of everything that you're doing. Like, that is, if you don't have a strong core in those situations, your form is going to be off. It's going to be so hard to complete the movement, complete the reps, like, get an effective workout in, and actually get stronger in those other muscle groups if you're not having a strong core and you're not getting stronger in your core. So that said, you don't necessarily need to be doing
ab workouts every single day, like crunches.
Because if you are effectively engaging your core while you're doing other workouts, even if it's like plyo jumps, you're engaging your core. Running, you're engaging your core. That is so important to every type of movement that you are gonna, like,
if you're working your core, if you're working out consistently, if you have a consistent workout routine, you're already engaging, or you're already working out your core a lot.
Yeah.
So focus on when you're doing those compound lifts, like when you're doing other workouts throughout the week, just focus and make that extra intention to engage your core, and you're really going to be strengthening those abs. Then if you want to do super targeted ab workouts on top of that, those things can help, but they aren't the total, that isn't the whole thing. So, right.
Like, I enjoy doing an ab workout, a directly targeted ab workout. I do not make it my absolute priority for every workout, though.
Yeah, because I think a lot of the time, like, people are taught, like, oh, you want visible abs? Like, just do this 10-minute ab workout every single day of your life. And
that's absolutely going to strengthen your core, but it's not going to get you visible abs.
And it's not directly. Even going to strengthen your core as much as regular lifting routine would. So in order to get abs, it's not just about crunches. It's about engaging your core throughout your entire workout routine. And then also genetically just having a low enough body fat percentage to show that.
Because some people say you store a lot of your fat on your stomach right above your abs, because you're going to lose fat pretty evenly across your whole body. Might seem like it's harder to lose it on your stomach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people lose fat from their stomachs really easily because maybe they store more fat in their legs, and so they just have these visible abs. Some people just genetically store more fat in their stomach area, and it's going to be a lot harder, if not impossible, to like have a visible six-pack because it's just not genetically in the cards.
In that case, to get your body fat low enough, it would be unhealthy for like all other areas of your body, in like an extreme case, if someone stored all of their fat in their stomach. So it's not.
So there's a lot more that goes into abs than just crunches.
And this goes for every single muscle group, like we said with the first little myth. All right, let's talk about some myths around protein. So one of the first ones is that, of course, you guys know, protein is so important when you're working out using your muscles, because what you're doing when you're working out, lifting, running, whatever it is, you're breaking down
Your muscle tissue.
So your body needs to work to rebuild that, and protein is what is going to help.
Proteins are the building blocks of life.
That process in your body.
I think there's a common misconception, though, that protein is only necessary if you're trying to build muscle. And in that case, I think some people might stray away from protein if they're not trying to build a lot of muscle because they don't want to look bulky.
Because these massive bodybuilders in the gym are like,
protein.
That automatically in people's heads maybe thinks that protein is a direct link to
just muscle
getting
growth.
Absolutely
enormous
muscle growth.
But that's not good, because proteins are so important no matter what your physical goals are, and
even
just
if you
for
don't
maintaining
work out,
a healthy body in general. Proteins are literally, I said this a second ago, but the building blocks of life. They make up everything. Our muscles, hair, skin, nails, like proteins. Right. Proteins are amino acids. That build all of these different things in our body. So to have healthy skin and healthy hair and just
There's so much behind,
you need protein.
For everything.
In terms of fitness goals as well, protein is really important for fat loss too, or for just body recomposition, or for literally just living muscle a healthy growth, lifestyle, right. And all of these things. It's not just for muscle growth. And that's because of a few different reasons. One, proteins prioritize rebuilding that muscle so that when you're in a calorie deficit and your body is expending energy, by having enough protein, you're telling your body to prioritize that muscle and instead burn fat.
So you're
going to
keep the muscle, and that calorie deficit is going to go more towards using up your fat.
Yeah, it's going to help you maintain that muscle while burning fat. Protein is the most satiating macronutrient, meaning that it's going to keep your body more satisfied and full longer than the other macronutrients mm-hmm. will. So by doing
that's
that...
that's not because the other ones are bad. That's because, like, carbs, the purpose of a carb is so your body can use it quickly, so you can mm-hmm. immediately get energy. Protein, it takes your body a lot longer to utilize it, mm-hmm. which is why it takes longer for you to... Mm-hmm. maintain that full feeling.
So because of that, it can actually be really good at, you know, keeping you full, curbing some cravings mm-hmm. and things like that that are actually going to help with fat loss long term. So protein,
that's the thing, like, you see, using my mom as an example, she wants a snack, she's going to go and get a little bowl of Cheez-Its. Girl loves Cheez-Its. There's not much protein in that. It's energy in the moment, but an hour later
you're going to be hungry.
She's getting
again.
Another bowl of Cheez-Its.
Right.
Right.
Snacks that are just carbs are not going to, like, have the purpose of an actual snack, because it's not going to keep you full, because carbs are meant to be burned quickly by your body and used, like, immediately as energy. So by choosing snacks and meals that are higher in protein, you're actually going to be satisfying your body more, keeping you fuller, and...
as a snack, that's going to provide a lot more benefit than...
than something like just a carb bowl. And so by keeping you fuller and by being more satisfying for your body, it's going to curb those cravings later. It's going to kind of keep your hunger levels more stable, which is always mm-hmm. good.
So you don't get that, like with the carbs, because your body's using it so fast.
You're not just going to be hungry.
You get that spike of energy, which is necessary and needed. And then the opposite of that is you come down from that, and then you're left mm-hmm. hungry and in need of some other energy, mm-hmm. so which is why you do need a balance of both, which is our next myth, is that I feel like everyone's heard the phrase, or at least now you're going to hear the phrase, protein is king. So like we're talking about with muscle building, muscle maintenance, fat loss, like protein is so important for that from like a fitness perspective. That does not mean in any capacity that the other macronutrients are not
bad
important.
Or don't serve a purpose.
Right. They all serve very specific, very unique purposes that are so necessary for your body. And we went over all of this in episode 5. Fats are going to carry the little micronutrients around your body and help them be absorbed into your system.
They're also great for brain health, cardiovascular health, mm-hmm. and long-term energy.
And then, like we said, carbs are great for more immediate energy. That's just because your body is trained to use them differently. It works with different energy systems. We could go into that. But they all serve super unique, super important purposes. So though protein is very important, and you should be prioritizing protein and making sure you're getting enough protein in,
you want to have a good balance of all of the macronutrients. You still need all of them in a well-rounded diet. So to kind of wrap that up, the myths that we just busted are that protein is only important for muscle building, because that's not true. Proteins are the building blocks of life. They're good for fat loss. They're good for a healthy body. And then also the other myth that we busted is that protein is the only macronutrient that you should care about, because that's not true. They all have functions
in
our bodies, in our lives. Boom.
Boom. Back to the workout side of things. Our next myth is that you need to work out every day, which is absolutely not true.
In fact, you shouldn't work out every single day. And you might see on a lot of people's Instagram stories or TikToks or something, people making jokes about, like, a rest day. Who is she? Like, was supposed to be a rest day but ended up coming to the gym.
I've absolutely made a TikTok like that.
Right.
Jokes like that.
Because I think that there's, you know, there's this thing once you love working out and it becomes a part of your routine, that sometimes it can even be hard to take a rest day because it's so, like,
because
embedded,
yeah, once
in your
you
routine.
Get into it, it becomes two aspects. Like, you have the physical aspect of, like, working out, get stronger, health, right? And then you have the mental aspect, And a lot of the times, like sometimes, you know, on a rest day, your body needs the rest. I find that when I on a rest day, it's so good for my body. I feel myself recovering. And I think if I had lifted on one of those days, it would not have gone well. Like I would have hurt myself maybe because my muscles and my body is so fatigued. The hard part about taking a day off like that is coming from that mental aspect, because
sometimes you feel like you need that.
Right. You take that time. It's a de-stressor. It's a good release. And it's just like you get in your zone and you're there. Once again, that goes back to like the you and you. When you're working out, when you're lifting, whatever your workout split is, it's you and you in there. And that connects to the mental aspect. And a lot of times that's the hard part to take off. But you know that in order to keep pushing forward, keep getting stronger, keep getting better, you do need to take
A rest day. You shouldn't be working out every day. And just like it recovers your body, it also recovers your mind. You know what I mean? Physically,
yeah, you do get that mental fatigue too.
Your muscles are recovering. But at the same time, even though you don't think of it this way and you think of working out as decreasing your stress levels, like it is still a stressor on your body, and it's really good to let those stress levels come down on your rest days and recover physically and mentally. Because when you take that day off mentally, I think that everyone should get past the point of like, I need to work out, because then you don't enjoy your rest day. You know, I've definitely been there before where I didn't really allow myself to enjoy rest days because it felt wrong.
But you can then fill your time. If you're missing that mental aspect, if you're missing that physical aspect, maybe you can fill your time differently. So on a rest day, you can go for a nice slow walk and don't do a workout on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
You can journal. Take that extra time to journal and, like, mentally...
Mm-hmm.
You get similar effects
mm-hmm.
in different ways. You know, do some yoga.
Mm-hmm. It'll give you some time to prioritize other things and to reset a little bit. But I think the point I was getting at was, like, get past that boundary of I need to work out every day so that you can actually enjoy those rest days. Because rest days are necessary. And, mm-hmm. I mean, once you can kind of let go of that belief, you start to really enjoy them
to the same extent that you like, you know, workout days, but in different ways.
Right, because they both give you something. Today, Sunday, is a rest day for us, and it's always so nice for me to sleep in on a Sunday, to, you know, just take my day how it goes, prioritize making this podcast, doing some work, getting myself together for the next week of life. So you don't need to work out every day. You shouldn't work out every day. You should be taking between 1 to 3 rest days depending on your schedule, your body. You know what works best for you. Some people want to work out 4 days a week. Some people want to work out 6 days a week. It also doesn't have to be the same thing every single week.
Right.
If you have an unplanned rest day because your body really needs it or because life just gets so busy and you weren't able to do it that day, don't be too hard on yourself. Enjoy the rest. Don't use it as an excuse. Don't take every single day of your life as a rest day, you know, like just like everything. It's about balance. Balance that hard work and balance the rest, because that's going to help your body and your mind recharge so that when you're on, you're really on.
So when you're in the gym, there's this myth that it's either cardio or lifting. And I do think a lot of this comes from like
social media,
whether it be like, again, TikTok jokes. I've absolutely made a TikTok joke like this. Or influencers where they either specialize in running or they specialize in lifting and there's not much in between. So that kind of creates this mindset that it's one or the other. But it does not have to be at all.
Yeah, I think that every routine should have a good balance of lifting and cardio, right? I don't think that...
Number one, for like health reasons, and number two, just for enjoyment purposes.
Exactly. I don't think that a routine like should only be one or the other, because even if you are a runner and you're training for cardio things, strengthening your muscles is going to help you be so much better at running. It's going to help your body physically be so much stronger. It's going to prevent injuries. At the same time, if you are mostly weightlifting, whether that's for aesthetic reasons or gaining strength or whatever it is, there are still so many benefits to cardio, to building that endurance, to improving your cardiovascular health. Like, there are benefits to both lifting and cardio, and I think that the key is finding a balance that you enjoy the most and that benefits you the most based on, you know, whatever your goals are or what your lifestyle is like.
But it does not have to be one or the other.
No. And
it can be 80-20. It can be 50-50. It can be
30-70. It can be whatever you want. I know my workout routine personally and Change with Caroline program, I like to do cardio before upper body days because my upper body lifts are usually shorter. They require a little bit less time for me than leg days. And also sometimes my heart rate is like not as high as it would be on a leg day when I'm doing upper body. It's harder for me to like really push that. And so doing cardio on those days helps me out because I have the extra time to do it and because
A little bit of the extra energy to do it.
Yeah, so that's how I choose to do it, and that's how I structure Change with Caroline, is we do cardio before upper body.
Like, distinctly cardio days, distinctly lifting days.
Yeah, there really is not
one single answer,
but I think that a good routine has a balance of both, and that you don't need to believe people when they're like, you know what, like, I think people like to embellish on social media, and if they're really into lifting, they'll be like, oh, like, I hate cardio, like, I'll never do cardio. Cardio, what is that? Or some people just, like, love cardio so much and maybe don't show a lifting routine. But both are beneficial, and I personally think that the healthiest lifestyle and the best routine has both. Let's target a myth around steps and walking, because we preach the hot girl walk so much. We preach the daily mental health walk and how that can be so helpful.
I told my friend the other day, I was like, because he needed a little he needed a pick me up, so I said, oh, you should go on a hot girl walk. And I was like, you know what, you should go on a hot boy walk. Pioneer that.
Start the
be
hot
the
boy
change
walk. Be the change that you wish to see in this world. It's just
a hot person,
it's just
walk.
A mental health walk. But I'm sure everyone's heard 10,000 steps. 10,000 steps is the magic number, blah, blah, blah. And, like, what does that really mean? Is that true? Is 10,000 steps this, like, magical number or what?
10,000 steps is – it depends on the lifestyle you're starting with. Like, for me, just because, like, we live in a city, we have to walk everywhere. We walk to class. We walk to the store. We walk, like, 10 times a day. We're going on a little expedition just because that's the lifestyle. So – when I get 10,000 steps,
it's pretty achievable.
However, when we're at home, and like if we need to go out, we drive somewhere, and the only walking I do when I'm at home is like
intentional walking
up and down the stairs, or if I go on a walk.
Walking,
and
Stanley.
In that case, it is a lot harder, obviously, to hit that 10,000 steps. I think 10,000 steps is a mindset.
It's a good goal, but the overall idea with that is making sure that you're active throughout the day,
right?
Because being active doesn't mean doing an hour long workout in the day and then
sitting on your ass for the rest of the day.
That's not what it is. It's living
a healthy lifestyle. Extends way beyond just the gym.
It's being active throughout your day, and so 10,000 steps is, you know, this good achievable goal to get there and to make sure that you're being active throughout your day. But what does that mean? Does that mean if you hit 7,000 or 9,000, or
you need to go take a couple laps around the house?
No. Does that mean that if you hit 7,000 or 9,000 that you failed and that you need to like make up for that or something and hit 10,000? No. Right? Because
no.
The idea is just is that you're
the
being
idea is
more
you
active
didn't
throughout
get
the day.
A solid 500 steps. Right?
Right?
That would mean you walked to the bathroom twice.
If you only got 500 steps in a day. So the idea
is a benchmark. It's a goal. You can set it to whatever you want it to be.
Right. It's a good goal.
You need it to be to fit your own lifestyle.
It's a good goal to have, but based on your lifestyle, maybe 7,000 is more achievable. Maybe you are just work a really, like, on-your-feet job, or you live in a city and you walk so much, and maybe you're hitting 15,000 on the regular, right? It's going to be a little bit different based on your lifestyle. The idea of 10,000 steps is just to make sure that you're active throughout your day and
number
not just for that workout.
Not as important.
Right. So it's a good goal if you want to have it, but it doesn't mean that if you hit 9,000 one day, you like beat yourself up and you do laps and laps around the house until you hit 10,000. That's not necessary. The idea is just that you're staying active throughout the day. So there's nothing magical about 10,000, but there's something good about being active and upping your steps throughout the day. All right, guys, let's tackle one more myth. And I like this one. I think.
All right, so this one is don't eat before bed. And that one is just.
It's stupid. Such a misconception. It's so wrong.
Right. The whole. I don't. It's not like a bowl of yogurt triples the nutritional value past 8 p.m. Like, right? Shut up. Shut up.
I'm sure you've all heard, like, don't eat before bed, don't eat carbs past 8 p.m., blah, 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 and it's like nothing happens.
There's so much wrong with that sentence. If you don't see it, please re-listen to...
But there's nothing magical, like Catherine was saying, about the clock striking 8 p.m.
I think the way that that came to be is it's like if you go out and get super drunk and then go eat, like, 10 slices of pizza in addition to all four or three, however many solid meals you eat during the day... consistently,
then that can be unhealthy.
That extra, like, eating, that extra energy you're putting in your body that is unhealthy comes at night. But in eating, the time doesn't inherently make something good or bad.
Yeah, the idea comes from the fact that a lot of the time, if you're eating at night, you might make less healthy choices, or you might just in general be overeating because... if it's, like, super late at night, maybe you've already had all your meals for the day. But if your body physically gets hungry at night, then there's nothing different between eating at night or eating during the day. Like, your body doesn't process it differently. A calorie doesn't triple. Like, it just means that that's when your body wants the food.
Lose protein and gain carbs. Like, it doesn't change composition. Food is food.
Right.
Food is energy. No matter what time you eat it.
Right? So, like, if somebody sleeps in until, like, 12 or something and their entire day is shifted, it's not like they have to try to cram all their food in before 8 p.m. because something, like, magical is going to happen.
They're it's not like, shit, it's noon? I missed breakfast and now it's lunchtime. I got to eat both. No.
Yeah. So, you like, your body's not a clock. So, you listen to it and you find your routine, like, that works for you. Right. Maybe you like to eat later at night. Then do that. Then just shift your things. Sometimes
last
also...
last night, we were so hungry, and we ordered food because it was pouring rain. I'm normally not... I do not order food. Like, if we get takeout, like, I'll go walk and pick it up. But it was pouring rain, so we decided to order it. It took 2 hours to get there.
Awful.
So we ended up eating dinner at midnight.
Mm-hmm. And everyone was starving.
Everyone was starving. But there's no difference between... eating at midnight,
right? The food
at, like, 8 p.m. if you're gonna eat the same thing,
right? Like, the nutrition didn't change in the food between the time that we ordered it at 8 or whatever and the time that it got there at literally midnight.
Oh my god, it took so long. Oh, not even to this is nothing to do with the myth. It was the absolute wrong order.
Yeah, they also gave the wrong order. It was such a mess.
It couldn't have
a worse, more wrong order. But sometimes you come home late and your body is hungry and you want to have a snack.
Right.
Do that. Sometimes you have just been super busy throughout the day and haven't been able to eat that much throughout the day and you need to eat more at night or you want to eat more at night. Do that, right? There's nothing that changes when the clock strikes 8 or, like, when it becomes later at night. You make things work with the schedule that works for you. Your body's not a clock.
On the weekdays, I go to sleep, like, solid 10:30. On the weekends, I'll go to sleep, like, a solid 3 a.m.
Or, yeah, 2.
That is a significant difference in time of me, like, being awake, being up, being active, moving around.
Of course your body's
going to get
hungrier.
You're
going to
be hungrier because you've used more energy. You need more energy.
And you're awake later.
You're awake.
So, of course, like, there's more time for you to get hungry again.
That's fine. It doesn't matter the time.
Right? Just make sure that if you're doing that... The point where...
you don't just throw all your, nutritional values out
the window.
The
point where it gets unhealthy is if every time it turns night, you throw away all of, like, your...
if you ate...
your nutritional knowledge and, like,
if
what
you ate,
you
like,
about.
All your... you got in your fruits and veggies throughout the day, and then the second the clock strikes 10, or, like, it gets dark outside, you're like, pizza, ice cream,
Consistently less, every time.
Like, every single night, if you're eating nutrient-dense foods during the day, and then at night you're eating less nutrient-dense foods. That's where this myth comes from. But we just blew it up, so.
Yeah. If you keep those, if you, like, keep your same standards, then there's literally no difference between eating at 10 p.m. or 2 a.m. or 8 p.m. or 7 p.m. You know, like, you know what we mean. Welcome to
The Double Take.
We've got some good questions coming up today.
We do have some good questions.
What's our first one?
Our first one is tips on how to overcome being skinny fat, aka too much cardio. I love you, girls. First of all, we love you too. And for those of you who are just listening, skinny fat is basically being skinny, but not having muscle or
right, not feeling like
muscle
toned,
definition to go along with
feeling
that.
Like even though you're smaller, your body composition is still like more fat than muscle.
Right. So the way to change your body composition and gain some more muscle with that is strength training.
Right. Start strength training, pick up some weights, increase your protein, because like we said before, protein is going to help you maintain or build that muscle while also dropping fat. So your goal is really, like, body recomposition here, mm-hmm. which means you're not necessarily trying to change your size. You're trying to change how your body's composed in terms of the fat and the muscle.
Right.
So by adding strength training to your routine, by increasing your protein, like,
by being patient.
Right. It's nothing happens overnight. So doing those things consistently is going to be a huge game changer for you.
Game changer. How do you balance working out while studying for exams? There's not enough hours. You're so right.
Life gets busy. Things get really busy, whether you're in college or high school or working or whatever it is. Like, everyone lives such a busy life.
Some days, like during exam times, we had exams last week and the week before, and there were a couple days where I took an extra rest day because I needed it mentally and physically. Mm-hmm. However, there were days where I was super busy and had exams, and I made time to work out because I knew that it would give me a jolt of energy. It would refresh my brain. I'd be more apt to, like, put in work and do effective work rather than if I sat at my desk for an hour and just stressed.
Yeah.
Same time goes by, but I gained nothing from it, and I ended up doing better on my, like, on whatever I was studying because I was able to get out of that space for a second.
Yeah, I think sometimes when you're really busy, a workout seems like an extra task and seems like it's just going to make you busier. But actually, in practice, when you do it and when you take the time to work out, I think that it's going to make you so much more clear-minded and so much more productive when you're going about everything else. So I think that it can actually be really beneficial, even though it may seem like you're eating up an hour or two of your day to work out. It's going to make the rest of your time more productive, and it's going to make you feel better throughout that. So wherever you can fit it in to your day, try to get that workout in. Like, and Catherine said, like, if there are some days where you really need the rest day, absolutely take that. But if you can consistently, like, maintain that workout routine, I think that it really benefits your life, and it can really help you do even better on your exams and study better and just be in a better mindset for those other things.
Mm-hmm. I feel like last week when we were all stressed with exams, Carol and I would go on 20-minute walks.
Yeah, we did last week. You know, you can cut things short.
If you're super busy, you don't have to stay in the gym for 7 hours.
You don't ever have to stay in the gym for 7 hours. But, yeah, you can cut things short.
You can
short.
Do a five-minute, like, stretch.
Yeah, you can be flexible.
In your room.
But including movement is going to help you.
It's going to clear your mind. It's going to reset your body, give you some energy. And you're going to go crush it. What is one thing you'd say to someone younger than you if they were looking for guidance?
Build a good relationship with yourself as soon as you can.
Literally as soon as you can.
Right.
And that's going to be the foundation for everything.
And by that, I mean learning about yourself, understanding who you are, trying to, like, feel more present and, like, understand your thoughts and opinions and emotions and just, like, know who you are and value
it. It doesn't
that.
Have to be like a solid blueprint for that. It can be evolving, like you're figuring it out. But as long as you're confident and accepting of that, you can try things, fail things, like learn the things you don't like and be okay with that. Like, you do not have to have it figured out at all, if ever.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And also take the time to try as many things as you want, because you'll find some things that you love and you'll find some things that you maybe don't like in the moment. And then you know that you don't like those and you know what you're passionate about and what you like, and you can really commit to those things. So stay curious. Stay curious. Stay trying things. Try to, like, build that good relationship with yourself as soon as you can, because that's really going to put you ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm. So that just reminded me, last year, my roommate would always say, stay vigilant.
Stay vigilant.
There was, like, a week where that's all we would say. Not related, but that's so funny.
Because I said, stay curious.
Stay curious.
Stay vigilant.
Stay vigilant. What do I do if my boyfriend is always busy and never really has time to spend with me? Talk to him. If you're upset about it, tell him, like, calmly, nicely. Just be like, this is kind of bothering me a little bit.
People aren't going to know, like, what's bothering you or how you're feeling unless you express that.
Then go off how he responds. If he responds like an absolute asshole, break up with him.
Right.
If he responds nicely and, like,
and he actually changes his actions maybe a little bit or puts more effort in.
Or even if he just understands and kind of explains his side, and then you can figure out a way to work through it together.
Yeah. If something's bothering you, bring it up, have a conversation about it, and it's going to be really telling, like, how that person reacts.
Right.
If they, like, actually really care or if they don't, and if they change their actions after that. So I would say start there, and then if you still feel like they're not treating you how you deserve to be treated, then you don't need to be in that relationship.
You need to be in that relationship.
Peace out.
This is not a question, but thank you for all that you guys do. I love your podcast and your accounts. We love you, and we love all of you guys, and thank you so much for listening.
Seriously, like, we want you guys to know how grateful we are for all of you. And every kind, sweet message that comes through, like, we read all of those and really take those to heart.
We read all of them. We love hearing them. We love talking to you. We love hearing from you, so do not hesitate to
send us
a message. We're always here for you guys.
We're trying to build this positive community, and it can't be done without you. You know, you are it.
We're all in it together, and if you want to stay connected with us, you can follow us on Spotify. That's actually really helpful. But you can also follow us on our Instagrams. We have our...
And Apple Music, not just Spotify, or Apple Podcasts, or wherever you
listen. I have Spotify up here right now. Wherever you listen. We listen everywhere. But on our personal Instagrams, at Catherine Kinnean, at Karen Kinnean.
Stay connected. We want to know all of you as much as we can.
Thank you.
See you next week.
Bye.